This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You and I have unfinished business.
The first rule of Fight Club is you do not talk about Fight Club.
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
Get away from her, you...
Ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight?
You want answers!
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
At the Movies on BFM 89.9.
I'm Umar Pagan, I'm PK Pagan, alongside Ian McNally and Bahir Yusuf. Avengers Infinity War is now available to purchase and watch in your home. You can buy it digitally. You can also tune in to, say, Astro Best, for example, on Channel 481, and you can watch it on demand. They've got a three-movie collection, so you can catch up on all of your Avengers viewing as well as your MCU viewing. But we thought this would be a great opportunity to talk about, I guess, the state of the MCU, but in particular, Avengers Infinity War, revisiting Avengers Infinity War, and actually talking about it for reals now, because enough time has passed that I think we can go into a little bit of spoiler territory and at least talk about some of the things we really liked about the film that we couldn't mention in the review for fear of spoiling any set piece.
Doing three podcasts on it before isn't really enough.
No.
Yeah. So if you haven't seen it, consider this your spoiler warning, because we're going to go into spoiler territory.
I suppose so. I mean, we put out a tweet telling people that it was now available to watch at home, and we asked people for their favorites and least favorite moments in Avengers Infinity War, and boy, did we get a lot of tweets. People have a lot of love and hate for that movie.
Yeah, you got your favorites and your least favorites, but I think a feeling that a lot of people might have was echoed by Pris Peter, who said, "I know I failed as a Marvel fan when I couldn't bring myself to watch it again. Just one screening was traumatizing enough."
Ooh.
People had very strong reactions to this movie. And what surprised me about the reaction to Avengers Infinity War was, of course, people who don't necessarily follow the news as avidly as we do.
Yeah.
And there were a ton of people who actually, you know, friends and family who would come up to me and be like, "What did they do? Did they just kill everybody? What does it mean? This is so stupid."
I saw Ant-Man again last night, and my girlfriend hadn't seen it. And at the end, she had forgotten about what happened in Avengers and was completely stunned by the credit sequence again. Oh. Like, what the hell happened to these guys?
Fantastic.
Great. Yeah.
But that's good, because that for me was interesting, because the movie still held some genuine surprise for those people, for the casual viewer.
Mm. Yeah.
And I think for me, that's one of the things that I wish I kind of have, because is that thing of going into a film without watching the trailers, right? Because we read so much movie news. Whether we want to or not.
The internet has ruined everything.
It has. And so when we go into it, we know we are expecting certain things.
Yeah.
And because we've seen the set photos from the next Avengers, we know who lives. Mm. We know the news that there's a new Spider-Man movie coming out. So
of
we
course.
Know it. You know what I mean?
Apparently Tom Holland was seen on set. Surprise, surprise.
Yeah. So whereas...
I can't believe that's a headline, but anyway.
And I'm assuming, like, for my parents who love watching movies, they'd go into it with a genuine sense of shock coming out of the cinema.
To a point, I was thinking back to which one of the MCU movies still held the most surprise in the age of Twitter, Facebook, and the internet. And for me, it was Guardians of the Galaxy.
Mm.
Because I was relatively unfamiliar with the comic book going into that film. We only had a couple of trailers, and there were zero expectations. And so we weren't constantly bombarded with news and leaked photos and all of that stuff. So the first Guardians movie was a genuine happy surprise.
But even with the leaked set photos, you didn't know what any of it meant.
No.
You know, which was nice. Like, you know Dave Bautista's playing that guy with all the lines on him, and you know...
But it's a very different version of the character even from the comic. And that kind of then would lead you down the Marvel garden path again.
Yes.
Where it's always behind the woodshed and you never get what you're going to expect behind there.
Yeah.
And you just didn't know what to get. I think for me, what was with this movie was, while I'm in it, I'm shocked and you know, we're shocked in different ways. When we get to like the point where it's like, hang on, it's been two and a bit hours. This isn't, they haven't got that gauntlet off, and we know there's a second one coming. What's going to happen now? Like, that's, I think, more the shock for us than most people watching it, I guess.
It is. How is this going to end? The clock is running out.
Yeah.
And we're going to have a cliffhanger. I mean, that was my greatest concern when I glanced at my watch. Because I was like, so much has happened.
Yeah.
And we're still not quite at a point where a movie would end, I think, is the thing as well. For me, it has to be Gamora.
Mm.
That was the most emotional moment?
Emotional, but also more surprising. I guess in some ways, you were okay with them dying in like a battle. But for that to happen, and for that lead up, for the way Gamora was taunting Thanos, and for Thanos to actually...
Shed a tear,
and then...
I'm getting chills thinking about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I'm just getting chills, yeah. And to sort of, I guess in some sense, pull the plug on, right? I watched it a second time, and I still had my jaw open watching, and my jaw still fell open.
You know, for me, one of the moments, I think one of my favorite moments from Avengers Infinity War was something echoed by Shahrzan Johan in a tweet. And he talked about that moment between Thor and Rocket, where Thor is telling him about his past.
That and came up a lot.
I love that scene so much because the writing for me was so balanced. I mean, it was funny, it was humorous, but it was also so tragic. Mm. And for me, that was the bridge between Taika Waititi's Thor and the Thor we saw in the first two films. Because
he's a happy-go-lucky guy with an incredibly tragic past.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And it fit because a lot of people who criticized Thor Ragnarok for being too... happy and jokey and out of tone with the last films, need to revisit those last two movies because a lot of it is him being a drunk, but yet trying to balance that with all the nonsense happening in Asgard.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
And I think Michael Chang and at Weens also, a lot of people just brought up the fact that like every time Thor calls Rocket Rabbit or Sweet Rabbit,
kind of cute.
They have those moments of incredible emotion, but they also counter it with such goofiness. But it all feels like the Marvel Universe.
Yeah.
Like, it feels like getting those comics off different newsstands and seeing them overlap and completely unlikely and mix-matched costumes and characters just overlapping with each other all the time.
I mean, this is the MCU is that perfect antidote for me because I was never able to afford... all the character spin-offs of all the different...
You go mad trying to read them
it's
all.
It's crazy.
You can't keep up, right? So you, at the end of the day, you end up making decisions, right? Oh, I'm only going to follow this storyline. I'm only going to follow these characters on this main storyline. Whereas here, all that little bits in between, all the little sort of character moments you feel for because you've seen them in 3 hours of two other movies.
Like a little moment from it's at Jocasa. Basically, the whole Groot, I'm Groot and I'm Steve Rogers thing. That's a funny little throwaway line, but when you've seen the other movies, there's like, of course Steve would say that.
Yes.
He's a polite 1940s gentleman.
Yeah.
And of course Groot would say that as well.
Because,
it's the same with the I see you copied my beard.
Yes.
It's another line, which also leads from just Thor's relationship to the heroes and also from Ragnarok. It's again, there's some Kevin Feige as Charlie Day standing in front of a like incredibly, you know, psycho board of red string, tying all these things together. And when you strum one of them, you hear a joke. That works because it's tied together.
Because it's tied together. Because you've had 10 years of 20 plus movies or something, right?
One that confused me was from Rin that you mentioned about the villains who look like they stepped out of World of Warcraft. You like that?
I did.
I didn't think of World of Warcraft at all when I thought of those guys.
Oh, do you not think of the running dog-like creatures?
Oh, those guys.
Yeah, I was thinking those guys, but also the three children of Thanos.
Yeah, who never really got named or anything like that.
I think they have names in the supplementary material, but I don't think anyone calls them by
name. The wizard
name.
Guy gets called by his name after someone says, I guess you offed that guy that I went.
That's it. That's it, right? Yeah. But I like them. They look like characters out of Warcraft. It's kind of cool. I thought so. We had a tweet from Benny LaBelle who said, Faves, Thor, Guardians interaction, Spider-Man dropping movie references.
That's got to be a gag now forever. So they've done Empire Strikes Back. They've done Aliens. What's next?
Thor, Rocket, and Groot's dynamic entrance. Of course, that was a tremendously great hero moment. Yeah.
A lot of people mentioned that.
Yeah. Quill being more beef-headed. Rogers as the nomad, lack of screen time character. Character development, didn't think he did much.
And of course, part two.
And of course, Stark's new suit. They didn't like the Extremis suit.
I don't think it doesn't look like an Extremis suit.
I know, it's not an Extremis suit. I'm just calling it because of the nanotechnology, right? Yeah, the goop suit.
Because he kept throwing bits of it away and then it was getting less goopy.
Yeah.
The thing with Quill, though.
Yeah, I like that because Quill is the loser. Quill is the loser human. He is the real life James Gunn who screwed up in the past but is trying to make amends in the future.
Oh, okay.
Right? I mean, that is what Quill is.
Bonus points for making it topical.
And so it felt like that would be such a natural reaction for this guy who's been fighting his nature in the last two films.
Apart from Gamora, when you see Gamora like being exasperated at the Guardians, the rest of them are a bunch of squabbling children.
Yes.
They are not in any way, shape, and she, even she's not. She's mature and seems like the responsible one now. But she's murdered half the galaxy already. Like, yeah, she has this rep. We never see that rep as much. Maybe they'll get to that later films because they're flashing back to the little Gamora, mm, which a lot of people liked as well.
Yes,
just
yes,
cute little Gamora.
Yeah.
But that, yeah, people saying like it makes him the villain are looking at it in a very binary way. It's like, no, that's a human decision he made. That's a character-based decision he made. But he's in a moment of pain.
Yeah, but
and
also,
it all makes perfect sense for
absolutely
him.
Absolutely. And for me, it's that idea that he's never really been around other human superheroes, right? Mm. He's been around aliens who've been able to jump and fight, and he's never had to.
But his plan works.
But his plan, well,
exactly. It's his plan. Yeah, Tony his Stark plan. Doesn't work.
Yeah.
Which is a nice plan. Touch as well.
Yeah. It works well until he screws it all
until
up.
Until he screws it up.
But
yeah.
That is pretty much what happens to him even in the previous movies. Mm. His plans tend to work until he messes everything up.
Yeah.
So it seems fitting for the character, right? I mean, he's evolved, but not that much.
No,
yeah. He's still human.
A lot of other people as well brought up, Yanana brought up the just another fun moment with Okoye's line about Scarlet Witch and when they square up with Black Widow as well, and those big wheelie things of death, the donuts of death are coming for them. And Scarlet Witch throws them out of the way, and Okoye's just like, why was she waiting up there the whole time?
Yeah. Exactly. Why couldn't the Eagles have just flown them to Mordor?
It makes sense when they're
9 hours
because they didn't have 6 months to plot it out. They were like, "Get that thing out, stand here, protect it, go over there,
walk."
Yeah.
Yes. Ken Leandri had said that he was very upset that there wasn't any Aunt May in this movie, but I called him a dirty old bee,
mm-hmm,
and that is the only reason he was upset.
He said, oh, that's fine.
He called me names too, and the Twitter conversation
kind of
descended.
Now you got me thinking about what happened to Aunt May after the snap. Oh no!
Another thing that
I wonder was she not feeling so good either.
Another thing that came up a lot was that line.
Yeah.
I'm not feeling so good.
Yeah.
Which was a fantastic performance from the both of them.
Yeah.
And I believe some of it was improvised.
I don't care. That line is just like, oh, it's improvised. You're dying. Come up with something cool to say. It's like, I'm not feeling so well. You know, that's maybe one of the 16 lines he tried. And it works quite well with the editing and everything else. But like, I'm sure the whole build up to that was in the script and everything. I mean, it's not like they're going to just like, oh, and he went like, oh, gee willikers. And they left that in. You know what I mean? They wouldn't have gone with that line.
I wouldn't have minded G. Willikers.
Yeah.
G. Willikers, Tony. Mr. Stark.
No, I'm glad they went.
He's from Brooklyn, not 1920.
Sorry,
I'm glad they went with I'm not feeling so good.
Yeah. Although it has birthed the meme that could die now. The latest version I saw was that movie pass card going, I don't feel so well, Mr. Stark.
Oh, God. Let it go already. Mm. Any others? Oh, yes. We had, of course, we had Amadeus Amuma, who is the CEO of Primeworks, mm, who said his favorite moment in Avengers Infinity War was actually a moment he wrote in Pulang.
Mm.
So I
didn't
like,
see the question.
I was like, plug away.
Yeah.
You know, keep the hustle
going. He apologized. He said sorry as well. He's like, he knew exactly what he was doing.
No. Yeah. Mm. I was just giving him the benefit of the doubt.
Pulang now in cinemas.
And I think the last one we have to have from at Basil Fu was the least favorite. The cliffhanger, having to wait a year for the next one.
I know.
It's not, how long is it now?
It's, you know.
Eight months. 9 months.
It's still a long time.
Although, I don't know, I sent it to you guys. I don't know if you guys read it. Apparently there's that.
Moving it up.
Apparently IMAX is, well, in an unofficial announcement via just internal financial announcements,
mm-hmm,
that the new one's coming out in April, potentially, not in May.
Well, so that's what happened with Infinity War,
yes,
too, because America was supposed to have a May release. The rest of us got it at the end of April.
Mm.
And then they moved up America
moved
to be in line
yeah
with the rest of the world.
Because they realized that, like, that they'd like to make all that money at once, please. Thank
once,
you very much,
thank
rather
you very
than
much
waiting for
yeah
a month.
Throw in China. Let's get all of it, right?
Just do it one time.
All the money.
It's easier for the accountants.
And I think that may be what happened. I mean, they've got no competition.
Yeah.
And despite it being the biggest movie on the planet, I think they also know if they have no competition, it means they decimate whatever movie is out, mm-hmm, and they actually get all the screens and all the money.
Yeah.
So they might actually move it up. I mean, April's a bit of a slow month. It's the beginning
yes
of that blockbuster season.
I haven't even looked. I mean, the Avengers was... Infinity War was cast as being like the reason why summer starts early now. The summer season in the US used to start later. Now
yes
it's when Avengers movie comes out.
And that's the beginning. That's the official beginning of summer season.
Yeah.
For a long time, it was when Tom Cruise released the movie, right?
Mm.
And he always,
that's true.
Always
it was the 4th of July weekend,
July
right?
Weekend.
Yeah. 4th of July
yeah
weekend. That's what the big
yeah
one was.
There we go. Avengers Infinity War is now available, so you can actually watch it again right now on AstroBest. That's channel 481 or on demand with a 3-movie collection. for all you Avengers fans. What's more, you can also watch all your favorite heroes in other Marvel movies like Iron Man, Captain America, Thor, and all of that on demand as well. And apparently, I hear Deadpool 2 is coming very soon to digital and on demand as well. So
nice.
Yeah, so we get a whole bunch of superhero fare if you aren't already fatigued from all of that. God knows we aren't, because we just spent a whole bunch of time talking about it. Again. All right. Go check that out and let us know what you think. Keep those tweets coming in. I'm on at Umar Pagan.
I'm on at McNasty Prime.
I'm at Bahi White.
You're listening to At The Movies. This is BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.